Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Kim Jones with you here on The Fan on this Saturday evening. I'm here till 8 o'clock. I believe it is Chris Moore then. We are now going to welcome to the program Art Stapleton of The Record of New Jersey, USA Today Sports. Art, are you with me?
Kim, I'm here.
Give me the rundown. I know it's part of the USA Today Sports group, so help me out.
Yeah, the record, NorthJersey.com, is good, and then obviously USA Today appear regularly there as well. But you hit all bases. You're good.
I love it. Art Stapleton's going to join me for a while here. We'll take your calls, and I want to get to a couple of those calls right away because I want people to know we are going to take your calls. So get them lined up if you can at 877-337-6666. Art, an overarching question as you look at Giants free agency, what one or two things stands out to you the most?
I caught you with Baldy earlier. Great segment. He's great. And I think you guys kind of hit on it on the contracts, the idea that, you know, there was a lot of talk with the Giants. Would this be another 2016? You know, Dave Gettleman perceived to be on the hot seat as a general manager. Would he go out and make big moves? Now, they spent their money, but I don't believe they've made big moves. And I think a lot of that comes to do with the contracts. And they front-load a lot. And I think for the first time, maybe they've looked at this and said, this is still a rebuilding roster, and they're not ready to contend. And why pour all your money and then kick the can down the road so that when you're 2022, you're now all of a sudden have to worry about the contracts that you gave out in 2020 because you wanted to make a big splash and kind of win the offseason. So that would be my overarching thing. For the Giants fans who expected big names and Clowney and the idea of going after a Jack Conklin, I think the Giants, for better or worse, right or wrongly, I think they identified players that they thought would help this team this year, but also they would not commit to hurting the team down the road. And you pointed it out. Look, if these guys become good players 3 years down the line, well, then they can make that commitment to those players then, and they could really be a part of this team going forward and chasing another Super Bowl.
Art Stapleton, as you know better than anyone, the Giants have won 12 games the last three seasons. It sounds like it's another we're working our way back kind of season. How patient do you think Giants fans can be expected to be at this point?
You know what? I think the fans that are upset right now, and we've heard a lot this week, the idea when you bring up the term rebuild, Again, you know, why are we rebuilding again? Like, this is the third time that you're now rebuilding and saying, be patient with us. And I do agree with that. I don't think rebuilding should be an excuse for not being competitive and not winning football games this year. You know, the Giants, the one point they made at the combine, which has kind of stuck with me, is that, you know, and Gettleman made the point too, which is kind of a little bit of, you know, a slam at him, is that the Giants have no defensive players who are homegrown players.
Right.
And really, the only homegrown players to speak of on offense that have actually done something are Saquon Barkley and Sterling Shepard. Mm-hmm. I mean, so when you look at that, you know, they are putting their eggs in the draft basket. And the last 2 years, you can debate what they've gotten in the draft, but they need to do it again this year. And that's the way this team is going to make a leap, if they are, under Joe Judge and his new coaching staff, is that if they go into this draft and get 3 to 4 starters, and then all of a sudden upgrade in those spots, well, then maybe this team, if they get better coaching and maybe some of their players come along, maybe they do get up into that 6, 7, 8 win range. But right now, the focus has to be on just kind of replenishing this roster and trying to find guys that can contribute both short-term and long-term, and the long-term really being the draft.
Kim Jones here on The Fan, joined by Art Stapleton. We're going to get right to your calls because I don't want you to think I'm lying to you. I would never lie to you. Let's start with Pat in Colonia, New Jersey. What's up, Pat?
Hello, Art.
Hey, Pat. How you doing?
Good. Kim, big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Since the Yes days with the Yankees.
I appreciate that, Pat. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Yes. I was wondering if you could see a scenario, you or Art, or both, if the Giants would make a trade with Jacksonville for Yannick Njoku?
Yeah, Pat, thanks so much for the call. That would help the pass rush. Where do you think they are with that big ticket item, though, Art? I don't necessarily know that the Giants have the appetite for that at this point.
Yeah, you know, I think, look, if they were creative enough and aggressive enough before this entire free agency period started, I thought that would have been something that maybe you think about. You know, you get the 4 overall pick that the Giants have, and I think Jacksonville sitting at 9. You know, maybe you get creative and swap back, and maybe you can throw a future pick. You get Ngakoue, and then all of a sudden you have your pass rusher if you like him. And I think that's the problem now, Kim, is that we want to throw around assets and what teams are going to give up for assets. You know, is Yannick Ngakoue the next, you know, Michael Strahan? You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and we saw that come out. You know, there were some reports saying that, you know, the Giants are looking for their next Michael Strahan. Well, yeah, of course they are. Like, who wouldn't?
Right, yes.
but the reality is that I don't know, and Gettleman said this at the Combine, too, and you were there in the group, that the idea that, look, a lot of these guys are getting tagged. A lot of these
right.
guys are getting franchise tagged. So if you're on the hunt for a pass rusher in free agency nowadays, you're not going to get them. And I think that's the problem with the Giants right now, is that, you know, we're going to get back to, you know, the Chase Young stuff. And, you know, they were sitting there, and if they had a chance to get Chase Young, that solves their mega pass rusher, at least if you believe that he's going to be that. But I don't think Ngakoue right now is an option in terms of the contract that you'd have to give up in terms of in addition to the assets.
And especially with Leonard Williams obviously commanding that franchise tag at the moment, too. That's a contributor
exactly.
there. So, Art, as they said in, I believe, Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. We now have full phone lines. So I have, because I started to take calls, I think they believe me. We are going to take calls. And I love all of you guys for calling in. I love every last one of you. Let's go to Tim in West Orange next with Kim and Art on The Fan. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Kim. Hey, Art. Hope you guys are doing well.
We're good. Thanks. Hope you are, too.
Yes. Well, I was calling about the Giants and the number 4 overall pick.
Yep.
I've been hearing rumors that the Redskins and Ron Rivera don't really like Haskins. Let's assume that they go with a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick. The Lions are sitting at 3. They just traded Slay to the Eagles. I think they're going to go after Okuda, I think his name is, the cornerback from Ohio State.
Jeff Okuda.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's all right.
So let's say the Giants are at number four. I personally think they should go after Isaiah Simmons. But if Chase Young is there at number four, who would you actually hypothetically rather have? Chase Young or Isaiah Simmons, who is a pretty much can do everything, it seems like, and he's like a freak athlete.
Well,
I just
Tim,
wanted to hear what you guys had to say.
Tim, I thank you for the call. Lots of sort of guesswork in that. I don't know that we'll go through it point by point, Art. You'd have to take Chase Young. You would have to take Chase Young.
You'd think so, you know, unless they have a quarterback that they like. I mean, we thought last year they had to take Josh Allen. I think I said it before the draft, and I think you probably agree that I thought they would be doing cartwheels to get the pick in for Josh Allen, and then they went to took Daniel Jones. But obviously it's a different story when you're taking the guy you believe is a franchise quarterback. Look, I love Isaiah Simmons. You and I have talked about this off air. You know, we can talk about a little bit of now, but since you mentioned Isaiah Simmons, I think Simmons has to join a defense in that everything is not going to be put on his shoulders.
Agree.
And I think Chase Young is the kind of player where you can put everything on his shoulders.
That's a great point. Part of it I hadn't thought of, Art. That's a great point.
I think two years down the road, you plug Isaiah Simmons into a defense that's kind of built and not rebuilding. I think Isaiah Simmons could have an even bigger impact than Chase Young. But right now, I think you take Chase Young and you thank your lucky stars that somehow, like the Jets did with Sam Darnold, and they never expected him to be in their laps, then somehow Chase Young falls in your lap. But as much as they may not believe in Haskins, which is what the caller said, down in Washington, everything I'm hearing, and I'm sure you've heard the same thing, Ron Rivera loves Chase Young. So I would be shocked if they pass up on Young at number two.
Yeah, and the one thing about the Redskins, when they, you know, obviously they fired Jay Gruden during the season, but when they were looking for a head coach, those coaches who interviewed there, and I can't remember who else did besides Rivera, to be honest with you, but whoever interviewed there, including Ron Rivera, had to understand Dwayne Haskins was part of the fabric of the organization. And I reported that on NFL Network week 16 when I had the Eagles-Redskins game, and that remains true as far as everything I know. So, you know, Haskins had some ups and downs. I understand people want to go nuts that he wasn't on the field for the kneel down. He thought the game was over. He was celebrating. It was a very, very, very much a rookie mistake that can't happen. I asked him about it. That's how I know that. I actually talked to Dwayne about that. It can't happen. I understand people want to crucify him for it. Everyone moved on. Everyone survived.
Yeah.
And he'll never do that again. Let's put it that way. But I very much believe Haskins is part of what they're doing with the Redskins.
And if you think back last year to Kim, right around the draft, the idea was that, you know, it had come out in the days leading up that we knew the connection to Daniel Snyder and how I think his son went to the same school as Haskins at some point.
Yep.
So he loved Haskins. But there was that feeling that the coaching staff, or at least there were rumors put out there, that the coaching staff liked other quarterbacks, and that was Daniel Jones as one of them. And that kind of came up, and that was the rumors, and it was the whole, did the Redskins fool the Giants and all that stuff. But that entire coaching staff is gone. So, I mean, that coaching staff, if they didn't like Haskins, well, guess what? The owner loved Haskins last year, and the commitment is made to Haskins. So I'd be shocked if the Redskins went anywhere else besides Chase Young.
Let's go to Harvey in Dix Hills. Next up on The Fan with Kim and Art Stapleton. Hello, Harvey.
Hi, Kim. It's always a pleasure.
It's my pleasure. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. You doing okay?
Hi, Mr. Stapleton. How are you?
Hi, Harvey. How are you? Hope
everything's
well.
Harvey, are you all right?
I'm doing fine. I'm getting therapy right now here on the air.
Okay. I love that. Thank you.
That's what sports is.
I appreciate that. Yes, very much so.
You probably know what I do for a living, but I won't mention it.
It's all good. All good.
Sports has always been my therapy.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, I understand. I mean, the Giants spend most of their cap on defense. I'm not saying the same thing, but I went through this with Jerry Reese when he did that year, that big year, spent all the money on defense for free agents, veteran free agents, and he did the same thing now. But I'll tell you what, I watched these Giant games, and I'll tell you what, the Giants had the worst offensive, well, maybe the Jets, one of the worst offensive lines in football. And they did sign a tackle, Cameron Fleming, who I know nothing about. I know Garrett brought him in from Dallas, you know, unless they're planning, you know, with that fourth pick, they better draft a left tackle because you mentioned Barkley's in his third year, and this offensive line as it stands is basically the same terrible offensive line from last year. They claim the solution is to put Solder on the right side. I'll tell you what. He was like the human bullfighter last year, and one of my coaches told me that if you're going to be a bad player on the left side, you're going to be a bad player on the right side. I love that pick of McGovern that the Jets made, who basically spent a year and a half in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they better draft that left tackle because we need that offensive line to be at least average or even above average.
Harvey, I think Harvey, I hope you're doing well. I hope
you remember. Do you remember Conklin? They brought up Conklin. Can I mention
that? Go ahead, Harvey.
Yeah. Conklin brings up that memory because Reese never addressed the offensive line, and I mean never. And Conklin was in that draft, I remember, with Tonsil and Decker.
Yep.
Yeah, and they passed on Tonsil for something we know about. They weren't going to get Conklin. That's the one they wanted. I think it was from Michigan State. And Decker was waiting there. He was considered actually one of the best linemen in the Big Ten. So they drafted Eli Apple.
Yes.
So Conklin, you remember that, right?
It almost sounds like a punchline. Yes, Harvey, we remember. Yes.
I know. You know, Apple was in the Garden of Eden, too. So
there you go.
But anyway.
And now he's in Vegas.
Now he's in Vegas. And I didn't have the Vegas idea either. But anyway. But what I'm saying is that, you know, these offensive linemen, to me, a lineman is the second most difficult position to fill. Somebody people think, and you know, I had that conversation a number of times, there's a disconnect between offensive linemen and the NFL for so many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Even center. You know, I mentioned yesterday, center is one of those underestimated positions, making calls, covering, you know, blocking for the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at this line, there are only two offensive linemen there that I would bring back, and that's Hernandez and Zeidler. Gates was a rookie. I think they need to address it. So far, I haven't seen them address the offensive line like I wanted them to. Your thoughts.
Harvey, I'll speak for Art on this one. Generally speaking, we agree with you. I've called this Dave Gettleman's third shot at kind of making the offensive line what he wants it to be, but Art, I do think that there is a high likelihood that they take a tackle very early in this draft at 4 overall.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think they probably come out of this draft with two starting offensive linemen, one of the tackles and then a center. I really do. I thought a guy I liked for them as kind of a bridge guy at center was Joe Looney, and he went back to the Cowboys. I really thought he would have been a great slot in, especially with the shortened off season. Who knows the uncertainty? You have the system with Jason Garrett and Mark Colombo he's familiar with. I would have signed that veteran center. I did like the idea that they brought Fleming in. My idea is that Fleming will likely be the swing tackle,
yep,
which I think is an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk all about Nate Solder's contract, and from the moment he came here, it's been all about his contract. You and I and everyone is familiar with, if you're not, the off-season stuff, the off-the-field stuff that went through with his family last year.
Right.
He was battling a lot of stuff off the field emotionally. I think this will be his last chance this year to kind of justify a little bit of the contract that's left. I don't think it's smart to part ways and leave all that dead cap, especially if you don't have a left tackle to step in. And even if you get a rookie in the draft, I'd almost want to start that rookie on the right side and then let him ease over. I don't want to take Solder off this roster and then throw a guy on left tackle. But I think this coaching staff and Mark Colombo specifically, they made a push to get him as an offensive line coach.
Yes.
He's supposedly one of the best in the business, and I say supposedly because he had a lot of talent to work with in Dallas. It's going to be his job and Nate Solder's job to be a lot better than what he was last year. And if the Giants can get a lot better out of Nate Solder this year, I think then they can square themselves away with two future starters and then move forward. So that's what I would say, Harvey, but obviously great points all around.
Kim Jones here on the Fan till 8 o'clock. Art Stapleton from The Record of New Jersey with me probably till 7 or 7-ish as we have phone lines jammed at the moment, and I appreciate that from all of you so much. You know, Art, I do think Joe Judge and this coaching staff, now there's an asterisk with this now, but are going to emphasize teaching. Now, the issue is going to be for all of their good intentions there, the world we're currently living in is likely going to take away an awful lot of those opportunities this spring into the summer.
100%.
So that is going to be one of those things that everyone or all at different levels and different scenarios are just going to have to deal with, and hopefully deal with it well, and hopefully deal with it in some cases with smiles on our faces, and just live with it, because life has changed and the NFL calendar almost certainly is going to change.
Yeah, and you want to, if you're Joe Judge and you're a first-year coach with an entirely new coaching staff, where you've basically built your playbooks from scratch on offense and defense, and you haven't been able to contact really any
right.
of your players.
And no one's
to
looked
talk
at it yet.
Wise.
Exactly.
Look, we understand the world, our world has changed right now. I mean, and no one's going to whine for the young head coach who has to worry about getting his team ready to go. So if and when everything gets going, I do think the NFL may put in some changes, like you said, not just the scheduling, but maybe they get a jump on being able to send the playbooks out to players, and at least, you know, if Daniel Jones can have a playbook in his hands, Saquon Barkley, some of these offensive linemen, and even on the defensive side of the ball, get Blake Martinez a playbook and get him going, I think the NFL will probably end up doing that. But obviously, that's kind of a little bit down the road from where they're at. But there are going to be challenges for this team, you know. And I was talking to my wife off the air, and she said, you know,
the wonderful Mary, by the way, and Marianne, your adorable daughter.
No, thank you very much. But, I think back to 2011, and I'm not predicting for the Giants to do what they did in 2011. That is not what I'm saying. But it was a truncated offseason that year with the lockout. You know, you had a lockout. But I don't remember people talking about the challenges that we were going to have when those teams got back in the building when the lockout ended. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't remember that. But you know what? They got past it. They played a season, and then they crowned a Super Bowl champion. So I think the hope right now is just, you know, obviously we take care of everything that's more important off the field, what's going on in society and life, and then worry about the football after the fact, and I think that's what they'll ultimately do.
877-337-6666. Kim Jones and Art Stapleton taking your calls. Giants callers, hold on just 1 second, because Mike in Queens wants to talk about Brady. What's up, Mike?
You know, I look at Tom Brady, just even forget the Super Bowls, the amount of playoff games that he won. I look at Carson Wentz, a guy who never won a playoff game, obviously. And you have an organization that trades away Nick Foles, who didn't just win a Super Bowl. He's 24-6 in his last 30 games as a Philadelphia Eagle. Meanwhile, Carson Wentz is 7-20 versus teams over 500. And most of the Eagles' locker room does not like it. Bad for chemistry. He's just not a winning player. And I look at Tom Brady, even after all he's won, and to think he's still chasing Super Bowls when a guy like Carson Wentz can't even win a playoff game, I don't understand how an NFL GM can get rid of a guy like Nick Foles, considering the amount of success he's had in an Eagles uniform, and to get rid of him for a guy that most of the team does not like.
Well, I don't know how accurate it is that most of the team does not like Carson Wentz.
Just look at the results. I mean, they couldn't beat the Lions.
Results are different.
They couldn't beat the Dolphins. They couldn't beat the Falcons. They needed the terrible Canes and terrible Redskins. And by the way, Doug Peterson is the head coach to barely get the Eagles into the playoffs when in a normal year they don't even sneak the playoffs. And I just feel bad for Doug Peterson because he is a quarterback that is a real, real virus to that team.
I understand. Doug Peterson will be fine. But in Carson's defense, he was throwing to guys like Greg Ward by the end of that season last year. Their receiving core was decimated.
But he was under 500 before his receivers got hurt, meaning he was losing with Aguilar and Jefferson. And the year before, he went 5-6 with all his receivers healthy. Nick Foles steps in that same year, wins the rest of the year, and then wins a playoff game in Chicago with the same team that was terrible
with
Carson Wentz.
Mike. I got to be honest with you. I'm very curious about you. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yeah, sure.
You live in, well, you say you're in Queens. I'm not asking you anything about your living situation, but you're a Queens guy. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Are you an Eagles fan?
No, I'm a Giants fan, but I was caught by surprise when I watched 2017 Doug Peterson, the coaching job that he did to take a backup quarterback.
Right.
and go through the playoffs. And I was
so you admired Peterson from that and ended up obviously liking what Foles was able to accomplish.
Right, and then seeing what had transpired with the Eagles team, how they were playing with Carson Wentz and the reports coming out of the locker room that he's not liked, that he's egotistical. And then I look at the results and I see three out of the 4 years of Carson Wentz's career, he started the season 5-6. And I see his record for teams over 500, and I see what happened, guys dropping balls, and Nick Foles not having a problem with guys dropping balls. And I look at the GM of a team who it's so hard to win a Super Bowl like we see, and we see what Brady's success throughout all the years.
Right.
And they got rid of Nick Foles, a guy who put up 40 points on Bill Belichick's defense. To me, that's a shocking thing to do, to get rid of a guy that has had so much success for an injury-prone quarterback who's not a winning player. And they're just never going to snip another Super Bowl. And it's just really hard to take when you see a guy like Doug Peterson, how good of a guy he is,
right,
and how good of a coach he is, and he has to now lose out because he is a quarterback that makes everyone around him worse.
Mike, I got to be honest. For a Giants fan, I appreciate how invested you are in the Eagles and in Doug Peterson's career. And I don't say that lightly. Like, you're into it, but you root for the Giants. I get it, I think.
Yeah, because
I think I get it. I'm not sure, Mike, but I think I get it.
It's something that's very unique. I've not seen a coach do what he did with the circumstances that he was under. And to me, that's what was really cool to see. And that's what I started following that.
Okay. Do you ever root for the Eagles a little bit against the Giants?
I don't root for the Eagles against the Giants. I root overall for Doug Peterson because of how good of a coach he is. And I'm not even an Eagles fan, but... To me, it's more about Doug Peterson more than anything else.
All right, Mike, I thank you, and I hope you continue to be well. I find that fascinating.
Kim, I think Mike forgot that when Carson Wentz injured his knee on the road at the Rams, picked up one of the biggest wins of the season that year in the regular season, he was the MVP of the league. And is now really the time to be pumping up Nick Foles?
Jaguars
bailed on Nick Foles and shipped him to Chicago.
I was just going to say, Nick. Nick's been gone from Philly for a full season. There was a lot to. I just was curious what makes Mike tick. See, that's what I love about these programs, Art. I love the callers, and I mean that. I love the callers, and I love the unique caller. And I would absolutely consider Mike a unique caller.
I would agree. I would agree.
Let me ask one question here quickly. Pauly, would you prefer if I take a break now or that I not take a break now? Can we take a break now, Art? You'll hang with us, and I'm sure the callers will as well.
You got it, Kim.
Okay, we're going to take a little break here on The Fan. Kim Jones, happy to be joined by Art Stapleton of The Record in New Jersey. We're talking Giants. We had a Jets caller. I believe we don't anymore. We had a couple other calls, but we certainly will talk Giants free agency, NFL free agency, whatever's on your mind. 877-337-6666. We will be back just after this.
Sports Radio 101.9.
Kim Jones back with you here on this Saturday evening on WFAN. I'm here until 8 o'clock. Joining me this hour is Art Stapleton. I'm so happy he is. Beat writer, covers the Giants beautifully for the Record of Bergen County, New Jersey. It's been the Bergen Record, which I still call it that, Art. Old habits die hard, and also part of the USA Today sports family. So you can read Art, and I'm sure many of you have heard Art many, many times here on The Fan. 877-337-6666. Art, we got call. Art, this is going to be your choice. I got a call about Giants receivers, Giants draft, edge rusher, Jets and Giants call, one call, and Giants free agency at large. Which one tickles your fancy?
Let's go edge rusher.
Let's do it. Edge rusher is Connor from from North Carolina. Hello, Connor.
Hi, how are you, Kim?
We're great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm down at school right now, but I've got a really interesting Giants backstory. So my grandfather and my parents, they're all from New York.
Okay.
They moved up to Boston, so I grew up with Patriots fans loathing me.
Okay.
but I'm a huge Giants fan, die hard, everything.
Good.
So I have a couple questions.
Wait, I have a question for you. I'm going to give you all the time you want, but I have a question for you. So you said you're in school at North Carolina. What do you?
I'm at Elon University.
Elon, okay. And are you currently in school?
We're waiting on canceling classes right now. Kids are just kind of like waiting around to see if they cancel the.
So you have had classes up until what was yesterday, Friday? You had classes through yesterday?
We had classes until last Friday. It's been spring break.
Oh, okay. So now you're waiting to see if classes resume or perhaps not.
Yeah. So right now we have like online classes as of right now.
Okay.
Monday.
I gotcha. I understand. Yep. Okay. Well, good luck with everything there. What can we do for you,
Connor? Thank you very much. So I'm a little concerned with the edge rush at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, we signed Kyler Fackrell. I think that's a good one. I like the contract on that. I think it was like 1 year, $4 million or something like that. But, I'm encouraged by, O'Shane Zimenez. I hope Lorenzo Carter can, turn into something, but, right now I don't see where we're going to get back to, you know, original Giants football, old school, getting after the pass rusher, because obviously we don't have Marcus Golden signed right now, and I'm just wondering what your guys' thoughts are on that.
I'm going to give Art first crack on those questions. Good ones, Connor.
Yeah,
definitely something that's been bandied about all week, Connor, and the numbers just aren't there. I have three names that we've kind of been talking about for 4 days now and kind of wondering where they are. They're still on the market, and I think they'd all, paired with Fackrell and Zimenez, I think would help the Giants, and that's Jordan Jenkins, who was with the Jets. Went to the University of Georgia, was teammates with Lorenzo Carter, and now the inside linebackers coach with the Giants is Kevin Scherer. He coached Jenkins down in Georgia, so he'd be one guy I know they've been talking to this week. Marcus Golden, you mentioned. I do know that there was, before free agency, that mutual idea that they'd test the market and then see if the Giants and Golden can get back together. Another name that I kind of dug up this morning would be Jabal Sheard. He was been with the Colts the last 2 years. But
He was with the Patriots, too. He was good.
Exactly. He was with the Patriots, and yet another, we love connecting these dots. In 2015, one of the linebackers coaches in New England was Patrick Graham. We know Patrick Graham is here now, and considering Blake Martinez and Fackrell both played for Graham in Green Bay, I would think a guy like Sheard might be maybe in position for a 1 or 2 year deal, maybe a prove it deal, because he has done well for himself. He's been a good rotational piece. He's another guy I'd look at. But look, you know, you've got a situation here where they're really going to have to just continue to build and hope that Zimenez, and maybe they do take another edge guy in the draft this year. Zach Bond from Wisconsin is a lot. There's been a lot of hype around him, maybe for that 36th pick in the second round. To be that outside linebacker. So maybe you bring him in if you don't get one of these vets. But I think your concern is valid.
Yes.
I think Kim mentioned earlier when she was talking to Baldy, and I think it's imperative that they get more production from their defensive line with all the resources that they're putting up there with Dexter Lawrence and especially Leonard Williams. If you're not going to get production out of Leonard Williams, now you're really going to question the edge, because if you're not getting production there and you're not getting production at the edge, then you're really just wasting money. So
you like any of those ideas, Connor? Because Art did a good job for you there. You like those ideas or no?
Yeah, I do like those ideas. I think the Sheard thing would definitely be more intriguing.
Intriguing. Yep.
Because you know he's got the Patriots background with Graham and Judge. And I watched him. I grew up watching the Patriots, too, and he did a really good job for a couple of years there. You know, I just – my concern with it, like, just has been, like, I watched – it was clear to me last year when we traded for Williams, our defense got a little bit of a spark up front, which I was fine with. He didn't produce the sack numbers, but it was clear we were getting to the quarterback quicker, which I liked.
Right.
But I'm just hoping for, like, Marcus Golden coming in and putting up 10 sacks last year. That was the first double-digit sack guy we've had in a while.
In a long time.
I'm just hoping to get that back. I don't know if that means trading back somehow and with the Chargers and getting Simmons from the Clemson kid. I really like him.
Yeah, I don't know that you're going to be able to trade back real far and get Simmons. Connor, what year are you in it at Elon?
I'm a sophomore.
Sophomore. Well, good luck finishing up your sophomore year, and thank you so much for checking in with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Kim.
Okay, good job, Connor. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Connor.
Let's go to another college town, Art. College Station, Texas. Hello, Jack.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
How are you? Art Stapleton's Jack. On the line, and I'm Kim. How are you, Jack?
I am doing great.
Are you in school?
Well, right now, we had spring break last week, and then we had the next week off because of the coronavirus.
Right.
And now we've gone to online classes for the rest of the semester.
So you are enrolled in school. Okay.
I am.
I
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, sorry. I'm
no,
a junior
no, no, all
right
good.
Now.
Oh, good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I think following the Tom Brady free agency, I think what ended up happening with him going to the Buccaneers instead of the Chargers, I think that's good news for the Giants. I think, you know, Dave Gettleman's never traded down. And in my opinion, if you don't do it this year, you know, when would you do it? I feel like you're set up in such a nice spot here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Brady not going to the Chargers may help the Giants because it then
allows...
Because
they're going to want a quarterback?
It could be, and I personally, I don't think the Chargers would go into the season with Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback. I could be wrong, but I feel like I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. How we're set up, do you think the Giants would, if Dave Gettleman would make that kind of move?
Jack, if I let you go, can you still hear us? Or do you want me to keep you on the line?
Oh, I can still hear you.
But do you want me to keep you on the line, or can you hear if I disconnect the call?
Oh, you can keep me on the line.
Okay, we'll keep you on the line. No problem, buddy.
Thank you.
Art, I'll tell you what, I mean, I don't always love these scenarios, but I do think it's true. If Dave doesn't trade back this year, I mean, it just may never happen. And I don't think he should do it just for that reason. But I do think that, especially if you want a tackle and aren't married to one of the tackles, you could trade back and assure yourself of getting one of the big four.
Yeah, I mean, look, we want to lay out the scenario and say the Giants are going to have the prime pick at four. The
right.
problem is that if we go 1-2 with Burrow and then Chase Young,
yep.
the Lions are now sitting there at three. Do they make the jump and trade and say, you know what, they'll just take whoever they want at 5 or 6 and hope that Jeffrey Okuda is there
right.
or Isaiah Simmons,
right.
that kind of thing. But if you're there, there are four things to watch. Number one, it's Tua's medicals. If Tua's medicals continue to come in well, and again, we don't know the timeline here with everything that's going on with the off-season schedule
right.
and all the medicals,
right.
you know, the combine recheck and everything else, no visits. But Tua, I think you need to watch what happens in Miami and San Diego, there you go,
I
LA with the Chargers. And then obviously you mentioned Tom Brady, and the Tom Brady thing makes an interesting thing for the Chargers. And you know, look, there are other places too. You know, the Colts don't have a first round pick, but do they look, you know, are the Panthers, even though they just gave the deal to Teddy Bridgewater, are they looking to jump in? Jacksonville is another team sitting there. Do they try to make a splash and try to get a quarterback? They just dealt Foles. Do you really believe in Minshew?
Right.
And another team that I've been playing around, Kim, you know me, I like the mock drafts,
yep.
and I'm going to have a Giants
yep.
mock draft.
Oh, good. When?
On Monday at
okay.
NorthJersey.com, so check it out. But
that's great.
I'm playing around with the trades, and I agree with you. I don't normally like doing it, but this year just seems so obvious. I'm looking at the Raiders with the 12 and the 19, and if I'm the Giants, I'm looking at that going, you know what? What if John Gruden and Mike Mayock fall in love with, you know, I don't know, Jordan Love or Justin
mm-hmm.
Herbert?
Like, yep.
couldn't you see Mayock and Gruden, just like they did last year when they fell in love with Cleveland Farrell, saying, you know what, we love this kid, he's our guy. You know, call up Gettleman or Gettleman call on and say, give me your 12, give me your 19, and you got an early third-round pick, too. Give me all three of those picks, and I'll give you number 4. And then you can get a tackle with 12.
you get maybe, I know he's a guy you like, a Kenneth Murray at 19.
I love Kenneth Murray, everything in him.
Chaisson from LSU. And then you can use that pick early in the third round that you gave away. For Leonard Williams.
It's a good thought.
That's one. I like that scenario right there. So a little sneak,
and then they make a little bit of a splash in Vegas. Not a Brady-like splash, but a bit of a splash.
Right, like, and then Vegas can get their young quarterback and say, you know what,
he's our guy.
Be, whether they hand it over to Mariota and they end up letting Derek Carr leave, or you know, however you're going to manage that, I'd go there. So that's one of those things that I'm looking at too. So we laid it all out there from the beginning. If Dave Gettleman's going to move off of that pick, there's enough talent there, as long as you don't make too big of a jump, to be able to kind of replenish and then get that player that's going to be a star for you, not a star, but a starter for you for 10 years to go.
That's right. And Jack, we wish you a great rest of your semester, however it turns out, online classes and the like. We wish you that at College Station. We thank Jack very much. Art, let's go to, well, one thing that I would say, the only thing I would say, and I like your scenario that you just laid out, Art, a lot. The only thing I would suggest is the Cleveland thing. The Cleveland Farrell thing didn't exactly pan out great.
Right.
So
right.
I do wonder, not necessarily buyer's remorse yet, but if there isn't a little bit of a, you know, we can buckle our seatbelts this time that we get in the car type of thing.
Yeah, no, I understand.
We'll see. But I like your
personalities
thinking.
Of Mayock and Gruden, and they've shown it in free agency this year already. You know, the idea of, you know, we're not going to get one inside linebacker, we're going to go get two, and we're going to pay a lot for them, you know, and that kind of thing. I think they're kind of the wheeler and dealer. You know, maybe they look at that spot and say, you know what, we're going to just roll the dice and get to where we need to go. That kind of combo. If I can get, you know, their two number ones, I'd be willing to go back into the teens and say, you know what, just give me talent. I don't have to worry about getting a big name.
Agreed, 100%. KB, Lewis, and Mike, we are going to get all three of you in. I'm going to start with KB, who's been waiting a while from Georgia and wants to talk about Giants wide receivers. I can think of one in particular he wants to talk about. What's up, KB?
I want to talk about them all, Kim. Thank you very much.
You got it, buddy.
I want to thank you and Art for your coverage on the Giants. It's hard to get that type of coverage down here in Georgia, but I'm following you both on Twitter.
Thank you.
As a future sports reporter at the Final Score. So, Art, that's me harassing you because I want answers on what you guys feel, what perspective on how you all feel this wide receiver group stacks up, and if the Giants are going to address it here late in free agency or if they're going to wait until the draft, since this is supposed to be a wide receiver-rich draft. And, you know, I didn't agree with the OBJ trade. I just felt like they should have waited a little longer. You know, there were some personality differences, but I really feel like the team probably could have done a little better with how they handled that. And, you know, overall, I've been a Giants fan all my life, originally from Austin, New York. But, you know, I just want to see them, you know, do better and understand that, you know, these new players that are coming out of college and coming into the NFL, they're, you know, they're a different breed. So, you know, it might behoove the Giants if they, you know, maybe change their stance on some of these things and, you know, try to be a little bit more flexible in certain areas, especially for a talent. He was
you
a headache.
A little more open-minded in terms of personality?
A little bit more open-minded.
Okay.
Absolutely, man. They're going to be different personalities, you know, coming through. These kids are young. You know, they've got lots of money. They've got lots of talent. And so you need to be a little bit more open-minded. And I think that may attract some players in free agency. I don't think anybody wants to go to an organization that is too stiff or too staunch, but no, I digress. I'll let you guys talk and let me know what you think about the wide receivers.
All right, KB, thank you so much.
Thanks, appreciate you.
I will say this, it absolutely is a wide receiver draft, and you're seeing that play out in free agency right now. That's a reason that Robbie Anderson is still available. And this group of wide receivers is one where in round four, you might get a guy who is absolutely ready and in other drafts would have been, say, late second round or perhaps mid second round. It is that good a group. So, Art, whether one of them tickles the fancy of the Giants or not, I don't know that, but this is certainly a draft where at some point a wide receiver very well might be the best player available.
Yeah, 100%. Your point is exactly what I was thinking as KB was talking in terms of the wide receivers, that when you look at free agency and you make a list of the guys that are still out there free agent wise, and then you say, well, why, you know, are the Giants making any inroads? Well, you know, one of the things I did hear was, and you obviously did as well, is that, you know, teams are kind of sitting there saying, you know what, this is an all-time wide receiver class in the draft. So why are we going to go spend our money now on guys that are on the market when we could just wait and see what happens in the draft first? So you may have wide receivers who are veterans that come August or September when this thing really gets kicked off, that are still looking for work. So you may be able to get a veteran, I don't want to say on the cheap, but really with a one-year deal that they may have to take an opportunity. One of the guys that I was looking at, and I'll give you a name, and you know, everyone will shake their head because it'll be Gettleman going back to Carolina days again. But Devin Funchess is somebody that I think possesses the kind of game that the Giants really don't have
big,
a receiver like that.
Big guy.
And he broke his collarbone last year, right before the season in Indy. And he was kind of viewed as the guy that he was going to have a breakout year. He took a 1-year prove it deal last year, got hurt. I can deal with the injury like that, like the collarbone.
Yes.
And you're not talking lower half.
Right.
If it's a lower half injury, I worry about. There's a name for you that if, again, it's also a concern for the Giants that Sterling Shepard had the concussion issues from last year. Golden Tate, we know his issue, obviously, off the field with the suspension, but he had concussion as well. So it's certainly a position that you're not going to go overboard and spend, in my opinion, your assets right away. But you do have to think about it going into the season. You don't want Daniel Jones to be out there and it's Daniel Jones and Saquon, and now you're worrying about, you know, who is he throwing to? Darius Slayton and who else is out there? Because a lot of those guys aren't even on the roster right now. The Latimers,
right.
The Russell Shepard. Russell Shepard's not coming back.
Right.
So it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
It is for sure, and we will keep an eye. And KB, if you're still hanging on from Georgia, we thank you very much for that call. Let's go to Lewis in Garfield, New Jersey, who I think wants to talk about both of our local teams. What's up, Louie?
Hey, Kim. How you doing?
We're great. How are you tonight?
I'm a sanitation worker in Rockland
County,
New York.
Okay, I'm going to let you have, I'm going to give you your time, okay?
No, it's no problem. It's
okay.
No problem. I've been doing it for 10 years.
Stay with me, Louis. Stay with me. Louis, thank you. And the people who do what you do, and I'm going to tell you a story. Today's Saturday. My garbage is picked up on Saturdays. I looked out my window today to see if it had come yet, not out of impatience, but just because I would have gone out to get the garbage can and bring it into the garage. And I look down my street, and I see, bless his heart, a sanitation worker reaching into my neighbor's garbage. It appeared that the bag had broken. And anyone who has ever heard me talk, I love details, so this will be too detailed, but you'll live with it.
No, hey, listen, I love you to death. Take your time.
He is reaching in and picking up, he had gloves on, he is picking up the garbage and putting it into the bag that's secure so that he can discard all of their garbage when, frankly, they probably didn't do a great job with bagging their garbage. And I honestly thought, this freaking guy is a hero. Because
we're not heroes.
He could have just let the can go and thought to himself, they can get that half bag of garbage.
Well, we don't let that go. We dump the can.
That's amazing to me. You guys are wonderful. That is amazing to me, Lewis.
Well, my whole thing is I've been doing it for 10 years.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to talk about football, but
we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
I work for, you know, Interstate Waste Services.
Okay.
In Rockland County, New York.
Okay.
But I'm from Jersey. Been there 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm a helper on the back of a truck.
Okay.
So when this thing broke out, it's kind of like you got to be scared in a
right,
way. You don't
right.
know what to do.
Yep.
We have our gloves. We have our, you know, normal stuff on.
Yep.
But you can't control what you can get.
Right.
So it's basically like, as long as you don't bring it home to your family.
Right.
Stay positive.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, anyway.
You know, you got to work.
Anyway, but, you made me think about that from this morning. So, but you're welcome.
Well, I work this morning. I work 6 days a week there.
Okay. I hear you.
So I work this morning.
Okay.
It looks like you can hear a pin drop.
Oh, right.
And the route I do is back door, which means they leave this garbage up the driveway.
Okay.
So that's even weirder enough that I have to go up their driveway, grab the garbage, oh, bring I the see. Can back.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So, you know, we take every precautionary
yeah,
we
good.
Can do.
Good.
That's all we can do.
I understand. And thank you for
but
doing
it. Garbage men, a lot, you know, obviously everybody gives credit to the firemen, the policemen, which
course,
they do.
Of course, but
but
yes.
the garbage men,
yes.
have, God forbid we leave the garbage.
Yeah, no, it's a
weeks.
Great service. It truly is, and I thank
makes,
you.
It makes things worse.
Yep. And Lewis,
so
I thank
somebody's got to do it, and we'll, yep. we're willing to do it.
And
so,
I thank you. Yes.
And obviously, you know, I have a 4-year-old son.
Mm.
I have a wife.
Yep.
So God forbid I come home with something.
Right.
I'll quarantine myself, but.
Right.
But I take every precautionary reason,
okay.
wear gloves, you know, just sanitizer, whatever I can do.
Right. Well, stay safe, and thank you. And if you'd like to make your football point now, we would love it.
I appreciate it, Kim. You're one of my favorites.
Thank you.
From when I was a kid.
Oh, jeez.
No. Trust me. I'm 34 years old.
It's all good.
I'm 34 years old.
Uh-huh.
I'm a diehard Mets and Jets fan, unfortunately, a
okay.
Jets fan, which
yep.
is terrible. But the offensive line reason with the Giants, this is what I want to talk about. My dream was to do sports radio. Obviously, it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Giants, do what they did in 2006, what the Jets did. Mangold, the Brickshaw Ferguson. They were steady for how many years?
So like, you're saying in the draft at 4, take a big tackle and then get a big center in this draft,
yes.
and then you'll be set.
Solidify the offensive line.
Yep.
I don't see why. You have a young quarterback. You have a good running back. You have solid wide receivers. Why wouldn't you just solid, look at what Mark Sanchez did with two solid offensive
yep.
lines?
And a running game, absolutely. And, Lewis, thank you so very, very much. Art, they may end up doing that in this draft. They may.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I mean, you can look at 4 and then 36. You can go tackle center. I mean, there are centers right there at 36.
Yeah, there are centers in this draft. Yes, absolutely.
You know, if they last that long, you know, mm-hmm. that's the other thing, too. I mean, you may have teams trade up into the back end of the first round, and then now you don't get the guys that you thought you would. But certainly something that the Giants could do, and it's not far-fetched.
Last call. This worked out perfectly. Nothing ever works out this perfectly. This has Art Stapleton. Mike wants to talk Giants free agency, and he is our last call of this hour of ours that I have enjoyed so much. What's up, Mike?
Hey, everybody. I hope you're staying safe and doing well.
You too.
Yeah. You actually answered all my questions with the edge rushing.
Oh, just make one up.
And yeah, so actually, what do we do with Evan Engram? I've been thinking about it, and I want to get your opinion.
I think that's an interesting, Mike, and I'm going to thank you for that. You're our last caller. You were a good one. I have thought about Evan's future, Art, a couple of times this offseason. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you asked that, because the end of the season, I thought there was no way that the Giants would not pick up his fifth-year option. It made too much sense. And they have to do that by the end of May, I think it is. And that deadline may move. But
right.
now under the new CBA, it was initially that the fifth-year option previously was fully guaranteed only for injury. And now it's fully guaranteed no matter what. So that's certainly something that the Giants have to think about in terms of Ingram's injury history. Some has been fluky. Some has just, you know, continued
to
kind of be a knock on
him. Yes, agreed. Yep.
And if you're going to now put his option on him, you know, look, the Titans didn't put the option on Jack Conklin, and he certainly made out well.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I think Evan last year embraced the idea that this year was kind of going to be his, make or break. Never really came out and said that, but I do think he felt the pressure last year.
Yes.
Stay healthy.
Agreed.
I think it was very unfortunate that it happened the way it happened, but look, he's a speed guy. He had a foot injury.
Yeah.
He had foot surgery.
Yep.
Now, it wasn't the fracture of Liz Frank, but he still had that surgery. This not being in the building right now hurts Evan Engram.
Yep.
I mean, he was there for a while doing his rehab
yep.
up until, I believe, this week, and now he's carrying on his rehab at home. He's out of the boot, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the rehab guys, this is tough for them, right?
It is.
You know, you're now leaving the building.
Yep.
You're not going to be with the training staff. So now you've got to kind of piecemeal all this together on your own.
Right.
It's a big question mark for Evan Engram. There's no doubting the talent that he has. But if you're the Giants and you're moving forward right now, he's not a Dave Gettleman draft pick.
Right.
Joe Judge hasn't coached him yet. It's a big question. So I do think that that's something that the Giants are going to have to come to grips with and make a choice. And I think right now it's a difficult one. A lot more difficult than I thought it would be a couple months ago.
I think you and I are on the same page there. Difficult spot there. Not as difficult. Well, it's a difficult spot, period. But the free agent right now is in a really difficult spot. But the rehabbing athlete player is also in a very difficult spot overall.
Those guys were at the building. You know what I mean? They were really the only ones who were allowed in the building.
So yes.
The funny thing is that Joe Judge and all of his new coaching staff, the guys that they've met the most are the guys who are rehabbing in the building. So maybe Evan Engram, with his time there, has kind of forged some bonds with some of the new coaches that are in there. But it's certainly something that, like I said, he should be. You know, when you're talking about playmakers at the tight end position, he should be a top 10 guy in the league with upside. Unfortunately, he's had injuries, and when availability is the best ability, and I don't mean to throw a cliche in there. I'll still go to bat for Evan Engram if he can stay healthy. And
Absolutely.
There are guys who have left this team and gone on to stay healthy, and there are guys who have left this team and their injury history has continued.
Agreed.
So it's definitely something to keep an eye on, and Engram is certainly a big piece to this puzzle offensively. And if he's not healthy, I don't know necessarily if Caden Smith is going to be the superstar that seemingly some Giants fans think he's going to be off of his rookie season last year.
Speaking of staying healthy, I wish that for all of you listening, for everyone, period, for all of you listening, Art, certainly for you and your wonderful family. This worked out better than I even anticipated, Art, and that's because you were so great. So thank you so very much. My thanks to Mary and Marianne for, I'm sure, being patient during this hour. But thank you, my friend. Stay well, and we'll talk again soon.
Back at you, Keith. Kim, everybody stay healthy out there. And,
absolutely.
You know, we'll talk again.
Thank you very much, Art Stapleton.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.